good. I've got something new to tell you about this morning. Sasha nearly, she kind of alluded to it, but we have an app. Come on. We have an app. There's an app for this. There's an app for that. Well, we have an app. You know, we value every single person in this church, and genuinely we really do. You know, we alluded to it before, but if the people who were paid in this church had to do everything, we'd be in a bit of a pickle. Yeah? Your welcome would be a bit shoddy. Can you play guitar, Peter? So the worship, yeah, music, I don't know. PA team, tech team, they'd be gone. So, you know, we love the fact that you all serve. You know, you're serving God by serving people in church. And, you know, we value that. We want to honour you this morning for that, and we thank you. But we recognise sometimes that isn't easy. You know, serving isn't easy always. And we want to make it as easy as possible for you, okay? So we're going to introduce this new system. Ooh, yeah. And it's called Church Suite. It's an online database, which, when I say database, that's so 1990s, isn't it? It's like, oh, we're going to have a new church database. It's going to have all your data in it, which it will. But it's going to be it's a lot more than that. It's going to have an app. And one of the big things that we found is, for all you multi-talented servers out there, you know, where you're serving like me, I'm drumming, preaching, people might be on the team here and downstairs. Well, we keep cutting you in half, and I'm sorry, because we're trying to get you serving in two places at once, and it's not possible. So we're putting a new rota system, combined rota system, which this all sounds brand new to us. It's not actually all that new. It's just we haven't got it yet, but we're having it. And so I'm going to be communicating more, ministry heads, ministry leaders, a lot of the people downstairs, but I'm going to be training you on how to use it. But for anyone in this room right now who wants to be one of my early adopters, which is a tech term, guinea pig, then please come and speak to me, because I would like to bless you with an app. Okay? It's all on your Apple or your Android, but honestly, so there. So that's the app. So, you know, this vision series, it's all about one thing. One thing. The youth pastor in the house, he knows the answer. Jesus is everything, isn't it? Well, it's not. It's making disciples, Simon. So, unlucky, but we're about making disciples. And a disciple is defined as a dedicated follower of Jesus. There we go. No, I've not sacked you. No. Just corrected you in love. You know, because Jesus in the Great Commission, you know, he said, go into all the world and... Not Jesus. He didn't say his name. He said, make disciples, Simon. We'll get there one day. And, you know, we've been talking you through these four core promises, you know, that that God made. And it's throughout the Bible. And we've been touching on one specific passage. And if you've missed any of them, can I encourage you, go back and listen to them. We have a website. That's probably 2000s we had the website. They're on there. But now we have an app. Get the app. You can listen to the podcast. It's all there. It's all in there on your phone. Okay. If you're new here this morning, you're very welcome. You know, this Rose kind of took my thunder a bit, and she said, we're here for you. Well, that's what I was going to say. But we are here for you, you know. We exist as a church, not for ourselves, but for people who are desperate and wanting to find something out about themselves that can only be found through Jesus and through God. You know, we want to share this incredible news that has power to completely transform your life. And I'm a testament to that. And I think if I got people to show their hands of how Jesus has transformed their life, I think quite a few would be putting your hand up. And even if you don't realize it, you're on a spiritual journey. Whether you believe that or know that, you are. Because we're spiritual beings, right? And there is a longing inside of us for answers. And as a church, we want to help you understand and try and get those answers. And if you're a Christian, you might be thinking, I've been a Christian, I'm saved, but I'm not quite sure what I'm here to do. You know, why am I here? And so we're taking you through, and today we're talking about finding purpose, okay? And if you're not sure where you are on the journey, well, we're going to see if we can find it for you. And I'm going to quickly recap what we've done so far, okay? So, who can shout out to me the four promises that we're talking about? No God. Get free. Find purpose. And make a difference. So, Exodus 6, verse 6 to 7. I think if we're good, we're going to have it on the screen. It says, "Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." This is no God, okay? Now, Rose told us about the beauty and simplicity of God's promise of salvation. You know, for those that don't know God, it can actually feel like sometimes we're enslaved in our lives. It says in John 8:34, anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is actually a slave. You know, you can feel empty, purposeless, exhausted by life sometimes. But Jesus, the Son of God, made a way. You know, he came to, and he paid for our sins. And what an incredible Savior we have. And it was very beautifully simple. All he said is believe. Salvation comes by God's grace through your faith and your belief in Jesus. And then Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and raised from the dead. You know, we want to be a church that help people get to know God. Help people get to know our Savior Jesus. And we've started to look at some of those ways, how we're aligning some of the ministries we do through this lens of no God. Next one, I will free you from being slaves. So Janice, and with a bit of help from KTN last week, took you through the next step of this discipleship spiritual journey we're on, which is get free. So you see, salvation is beautifully simple, which I've said quite a few times. I'm aware of that right now. But it is beautifully simple. And God wanted to ensure that we can't take any of the glory for his salvation. Okay? So, amazingly, God inspired this guy called Paul. And he wrote this a large chunk of the Bible, if you didn't know. And he wrote in Philippians, "And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God." Amen. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. You see, he didn't want what we do, works, mixed with salvation. Because if they mix together, then we can start taking credit for it. And that's why they're two separate promises completely. But once we are saved, we don't want to sit at salvation's gate. There's so much more for us. God promises a life of fulfillment, of life and life to the full. And so what Janice and what Katie-Ann helped us understand is we need to be sorting out the sin in our life. We need to be getting some healing for the wounds, some of the stuff that might be, you know, that has been done to us, you know, hurts, abuse, all these different things, loss, tragedy. And then we also heard about how we need to take hold of the authority that we have in Christ to put down the devil, yeah? And we as a church, again, talking of vision, we want to be a church that helps people get free from this baggage, from this. We want to help your spirit life outgrow your body and your soul so it's influencing every area of your life for good. And so that we can live this life and life to the full. And then today, we are going to be talking about, "And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment." And it goes on to say, "I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." We're going to talk about that. Peter's going to talk about make a difference next week. And I'll maybe just at the end of this, we'll touch on it slightly, so we'll see. But you know, what I want you to get out of today is to really understand that your purpose is important. Okay? And we are going to find it. You're going to know why you're on the planet. Maybe not after today, because that's asking a lot, okay? I can't tell you all your purposes all at the same time. But over time, as we grow into this vision as a church, as we implement some new things over time, we're going to help all of you guys and all these people who are going to be flooding in to help find their purpose. So let's dive in. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. So, what is the definition of a redeem? And there's quite a lot, because it's in the Greek, and the Greek has like a lot of... It's not Jesus. Can someone remove this person from the front row? So, redeem. I'm sorry, Simon. I love you. No, you're not leaving. Don't leave. Oh, you are actually leaving. You see, Simon knows his purpose, and that's to go and reach out to the youth of this town. So he's going to live it. So thank you, Simon. So redeem. The definition of redeem. It's a little bit Christian, isn't it? So the definition of redeem in the dictionary is buy back or repurchase. So not purchase, repurchase. You know, we were all made in the likeness of God, yeah? With a spirit inside of us. And the Bible says that we went our own way. We wandered off. We did our own thing. We were born into this life, into this corrupt world, and Jesus had to step in. He had to step down and come and buy us back. Amen. How much did it cost? Everything. But he paid it, right? Amen. So he repurchased us. Another definition is to change for the better, to reform. You know, I believe too many of us set our goals too low. You know, we don't want to just survive in this life. I want to thrive. Do you want to thrive? You don't want to just be in survival mode all the time. And God is wanting to change us for the better. Another definition, to repair or restore. And this is why the I will statement in the Jewish people uses this promise of restoration, to restore. Now, if God was a mechanic, now just bear with me with this one. It's not perfect, but it'll go. He'd have a sweet ride, firstly. He'd have an awesome car. But if God was a mechanic and he sent his son to a scrapyard, you know, Jesus would go in and go, right, I'll take that one, please. It's a bit bashed up, a bit messed up, but I'm going to take it as it is. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to bring it back. He's rescued it. He's saved it. And then he's going to start about fixing it up, isn't he? So he takes it as it was, and then he starts fixing it up, gets little dents out, maybe puts some windows, and then he restores it to its original purpose. So its engine is tuned up, its paint job is restored, and it becomes this priceless work of art again. It's put back to its original intent. The car, instead of being a crushed, messed up piece of junk, is restored to its full purpose and intent. You know, it was restored. He redeemed it. And that is the meaning of redeemed. And so now we understand that, you know, to change for the better, to restore. Let's see the two ways that God does that. And we're going to look at those in detail. So it's with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. So first one, outstretched arm. God is saying he has to stretch down to redeem us. He has to pull us up from the place we're in. Psalm 40 verse 2 says, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. You know, he will lift us up from where we are at. He has a different perspective of where we are and who we are. You see, most of us don't see ourselves the way God sees us, and we perceive ourselves lower than we are. Let me say that again. We perceive ourselves lower than we are. You know what that is the definition of? No? Inferiority. So some of us might have an inferiority complex. Do you see the greatness that God has placed inside of you? God is saying that he has to stretch down, pull us up, show us the greatness he's placed inside of us. Psalm 18:35, you stoop down to make me great. Amen. If you want to see a really good example of this, just search Gideon in your Bible app. I'm not going to go into the detail now. If you've got your Bible, you have to flick. If you've got your phone, just type Gideon and it comes up. If you don't have a Bible app, YouVersion is a very good one, just a little tip. You know, he's wanting to lift us up out of the place we are in. And for us to understand the greatness he's placed inside of us, we often see things through the rearview mirror, through the past. Yeah? But that's not the way that God wants us to look. You know, he wants us to get a right view of who we are and what we mean to our Maker. You know, he loves us so much, and this famous verse, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." But verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Condemnation is not from God. You know, Jesus came to convict and show you a way. But, you know, onto this spiritual journey we're talking about, the devil just comes to condemn and wants to keep you in that position. You know, stopping you from seeing who you were designed to be, preventing you from knowing the greatness that God has put inside of you. And we need to understand our identity in Christ. So, who are we then? Do you know who you are? Child of God. I'm going to give you a word. You are a masterpiece. Every single one of you. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." We are his masterpiece. You know, God and I have a long-standing joke. It's about 20 years old now. And the joke goes like this, is whenever I say I don't want to do something, it normally means I end up doing it. And genuinely, this happens all the time. When I first started playing guitar, I could play one chord. It was an E for the musicians in the room. And someone said, "Oh, you should join the band." Now, in my old church, standards were a bit lower than here. So they were like, "Oh, just join the band." I was like, "I can only play one chord. What do you want me to do?" It's like, "Just play the E." So when that chord came up, I said no. I said, I don't want to play in a band. All I'm doing is learning guitar. The next week, I was playing, and I played that E. I played that E, okay? The next thing, it's like, "Oh, someone heard me sing. Oh, you're going to lead the band one day." Prophesied over me. It's like, "Oh, come on." I learned a few more chords. I could play my chords. I was like, "I'm fine. I'm just fine playing, you know, guitar. I don't really want to lead." Well, I lead a lot of worship now. 5 years solid, I led pretty much on my own it over at Hyde. So I led a lot. I was pretty adamant that I didn't want to preach. I definitely said no to that. I think I told Peter no a few times, actually. But here I am. And don't even get me started about what I said about leading a church. So, you know, here we go. But you see, God saw something in me that I didn't even know existed. You know, I think Peter might have seen a little bit of it as well. But I didn't see half of the stuff that he's got me doing. And I've learned I don't say no to things now. I just go, "You know what, God, I'm all in. Let's just go for it." But, you know, what I want to encourage you is, even though you don't see it right now, there is greatness inside of you. There's things inside of you that God is going to be birthing. And through this lens of finding purpose, we're going to together see that outworked. So we need to know our identity and not have an inferiority complex. Then he says the other way he's going to redeem us. So that's the first way, with an outstretched arm. The next way is through mighty acts of judgment. Whoa. What's that about? It's like you just saved us. You got us free, and now you're talking about mighty acts of judgment. okay, don't worry, this isn't for us. You know, they are reserved for the enemy of our soul, the devil. You know, when we read the Bible, we need to take the whole counsel and understanding of the word. And you see, when I said at the beginning of this that we're on a spiritual journey, every single one of you, whether you know it or not, well, the devil knows that too. The Bible says the enemy, the devil, prowls. He's searching like a roaming lion looking for someone to devour. He's setting up diversions. That's my next point. So, you know, we can be diverted away from God's plan and purposes. You know, as we're going on this journey, we're saved and we're free from what we're doing, and we're wanting to pour out into all that God has got for us. We're wanting to find this purpose that he's planted inside of us. But the enemy is trying to divert us away from what that purpose is. And so when God says he will redeem us by mighty acts of judgment, what he's actually saying here is, you know, he's going to redirect you back onto his path through the judgment he's declaring by the on the enemy of your soul. So he wants you to get back on his path, back onto his plan for your life. And you may be asking, is that really possible? Can the devil do that? Well, here it is in the Bible, our good friend Paul again in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. We wanted very much to come to you. And I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. And in the Greek, that word prevented, it actually translates further as to impede one's progress by putting something in the way. And as believers, Satan can't physically touch us, but he can get in our way. He's really annoying like that. Really annoying. You know, he can put something in the way. And think of it as if we're walking along God's path and we're going, I'm on God's path. I'm doing good. We're reaching the lost. We're serving. Oh, what's this about? That might have a laptop in that Ben's just chucked this bag. But, you know, he can put ditches in the path. You know, he can stop us. And what should happen is we go, oh, there's a ditch. I'm going to overcome. We're going to be overcomers. But sometimes what happens is, because we're either busy, life is so busy that we're not maybe in tune with what God is saying. Our prayer life is not what it should be, or we're not in the word where God is constantly renewing us, or mind is being renewed. Instead of being an overcomer, we just divert the other way and go, oh, well, this is easier. I'll just go this way. And what's happened is we've been diverted off God's path for our life. And that can happen through many, many things. You know, we talked about wounds last week. You know, it can be tragedy. It can be loss. It can be through a neglect of our spiritual walk with God. So he can divert us. But surely, if we're diverted, that's bad, right? Well, yeah, it's right. But God can take whatever path you've taken and turn it around for good. Amen. Now, who's good at geography in the house? Oh, no hands. Right, can you get from New Mills to London? Right, New Mills is here, to London, here, via Newcastle, up here. Correct. You can get there, but it's just going to take you hours longer than it should have. Do you see what I'm getting there? Even though you've been diverted off your path, God can still use that and bring you back. And I'm not even saying that it's going to take you years to get back on track. That's not what the Bible says. What we need to be... Where am I up to? Oh, yeah. Has anyone fallen asleep on the train? Oh, wow. Guys, that's a lot of hands. But you're here to tell the tale, aren't you? So you made it back. So you missed your stop, but guess what? You got back on track. And that's what God's saying. He can use all things to, even if you get diverted, even if you miss your stop. There's never a point where God is going to say, it's over. There's no distance too far. that a diversion can take you. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Romans 11:29 in the Message says, "God's gift and God's call are under full warranty, never cancelled and never rescinded." Okay, so how does all this work and how can you find your purpose? Well, it all revolves around understanding who God made you to be and what he gave you. Remember, we're on a spiritual journey, right? And the Bible says in Romans 12, we have been given different gifts according to the grace he has given us. Spiritual gifts. We're on a spiritual journey. Well, God's given us spiritual gifts. And you might be thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa. Spiritual gifts. It's a bit wacky, isn't it? Well, yeah, I'm saying yes. That's what it says in the Word. And we believe the Bible, right? Is the inspired Word of God. Well, that's what it says. He says a grace gift is given, and it's a divine enablement to do something that God has put that gift inside of you to do. Yes, you guys. You know, he's given us so much. And as a church, we want everyone to know in their heart of hearts why you are on the planet. I said, you know, we're not going to do that today, but we can help you with all the stuff we're going to do. And you might be sat here this morning going, I actually don't know why I'm here. I'm in church, I'm serving, I'm doing what I think I'm called to do, you know. But we want to help you discover that. And here are some of the ways we're going to do it. Number one, we want to help you discover your gift. So somewhere in your design reveals your destiny. God had something for you to do first, then he made you. Do you hear that? That's pretty cool, right? God had something for you to do first, and then he made you. So if you think you're a mistake, you're not. Because he had something for you to do. You didn't turn up and then get in the queue to God and go, he looks you up and down and goes, right, you're going to do, right, you do that, and you do that, there's a gift. No, he planned for every single one of our lives for a purpose. And if he had that thing in mind for the thing you needed to do, then he made you with the ability to do what you were here to do. I said that fast, didn't I? I'm going to say it fast again because it rolls off the tongue. If he had the thing in mind for the thing you needed to do, then he made you with the ability to do what you were here to do. Slow down. If he had the thing in mind for the thing you needed to do, then he made you with the ability to do what you were here to do. I've said it three times now. Have you got it? One more. If he had the thing in mind for the thing you needed to do, then he made you with the ability to do what you were here to do. It's on the website and on the app. So your design reveals some things, okay? So he designed us. We're his masterpiece. Psalm 139:13-14. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Your design reveals your destiny. How you are made points to what you're supposed to do. So who designed you? And please don't say your parents, because it wasn't. If Simon was here now, it would be great. It's God. God designed us. So our true purpose cannot be outside of God, right? And he's the one that brought us into the world. He's got the book on you guys. He knows you inside out. You know, our careers, our education, all that we do, that's all good. God wants us to do that. But outside of God, our purpose isn't fully worked out. He wants us to do all these things, but to truly know what God wants for us, it has to be in him. Ephesians 1:11-12 says, it's in Christ, this is a brilliant verse, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. And Colossians 1:16, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Amen. Everything, absolutely everything, started in him and finds its purpose in him. So that's discover your gift. The next is develop your gift. You know, your gift is never perfect when you discover it. I could only play one chord. Yeah. I've got more chords in the repertoire now, thankfully. Two, yeah. No, worship songs normally like three or four, so as long as you know four, you're pretty good. So we need to develop this gift. You know, we need to, you know, every time I preach, I hopefully get a little bit better. That's the plan anyway. Ephesians 4, verse 7 and then 11 and 12 says, but to each one of us, grace or a grace gift has been given as Christ the portion to it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to what? To equip his people for works of service. You know, we're here to equip people for works of service. Now, as a church and as a leadership, you know, we exist to equip you guys. We're not here to solve all your problems. Like, genuinely, we're not here. We can't do that. We aren't here to put on a show. We aren't even here to make a Sunday service amazing. That's not what we're here for. You know, we like a great Sunday service, don't get me wrong. But we're here to equip you as disciples of Jesus Christ on your spiritual journey. And to, together as a family, be able to really discover, develop, and outwork what your purpose is. And so, and that's why this lens of find purpose is really important for us, because it's through that we can drink from that final cup of promise, the cup of praise, which is making a difference, the promise of fulfillment in our lives. And you're going to be seeing some new things as we go into 2020 around this stuff. So, you know, right now we do some stuff around purpose. We do some short courses and things like that. But we're going to be expanding that out, and we're going to be trying to provide you more opportunity. You know, the reason partly why we're embedding Church Suite is to make things simpler and easier for you to start serving and start going, you know what, I'm going to give that a go downstairs with the kids. Or I can play drums, so I want to. I'd love to share my gift and play drums. You know, we want to give you opportunity and make it as slick and as smooth as possible to give you that opportunity to outwork the gift that you've given. And the final one is use your gift. And this is the tease for next week, because actually making a difference is all about the outworking of that gift. 1 Peter 4:10, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. You see, our purpose is actually born out of the same thing. We're not here just all doing our own random things. We want to help you help find your variety, because actually what we're here to do is all about serving God. It's about serving God by serving others. And you know, it's not about positions. It's not about titles. You know, we just want to help you understand where you fit in the body. This promise of restoration for God to redeem us back to him, you know, to show us who we really are through his eyes, to pull us back onto his path of our lives, and you know, is to show and reveal to us how we can serve God and people better. Our purpose is always in alignment with the church we are planted in, the vision of that church, and ultimately in making disciples in our town and surrounding areas. So let's stand on our feet. If the band want to come back, that would be great, and just I'll start playing quietly. Okay, and we're just going to respond to God. Let's just bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's tune into, you know, we're on a spiritual journey, and, you know, we believe that the Holy Spirit is here. That atmosphere I was talking about before, that is, you know, God's Holy Spirit is here wanting to work in our lives. And as we tune into what God and His Spirit is saying, you know, it might be a God thought, a picture in our mind, maybe a verse. Let's just wait on Him for a sec. Now, if you're standing here this morning, you just know you need to respond to this free gift of God's promise of salvation for your life. For you to come as you are, for Jesus to bring you out from where you are. You know, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just wonder if you could raise your hand short, quickly, and we're going to pray a short prayer that will help you enter into that relationship and receive His promise. Okay, great, I saw that hand. Any more? Okay, we should pray. Lord Jesus, thank You that You love me and have a good plan and purpose for my life. I'm sorry for ignoring You and doing things my way. I realize now that my sin has hurt You and hurt the people around me. And for this, I am truly sorry. I declare You Lord of my life. Thank You, Jesus, that You gave Your life for me and took the punishment for my sin. Please forgive me and help me now by the power of Your Holy Spirit, as I decide to live only for You. Amen. If you're feeling purposeless this morning, you know, maybe you've been diverted off your path through whatever reason. Maybe you're feeling inferior and you need God's outstretched arm to come down and show you who you really are. With heads bowed, eyes closed, let's just raise your hands and we're going to just respond and pray for you. That's great. Thank you. That's great. Lord, I thank You that You had a work for us to do before You created us. I pray that we may fulfill that work that You have purposed us to do. I thank You, Father, that Your will for our lives is to transform us into the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that our lives may reflect His grace and beauty in all we say and do. I pray that we willingly submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, even on those occasions when we don't understand, and ask that all that is of us may decrease and all that is of Christ may increase. Lord, we want to get back on Your path. We want to know the fullness of Your love and how great You think we are. Not for our own joy, Lord, but for Your glory.